anything between you and your best self is a start button. This Cyber Monday, explore the world with Nordic Track. From the peaks of Peru to the streets of Paris, every workout moves you somewhere new with iFit trainers leading the way. The equipment's amazing, smooth, quiet, and those screens make it all feel real. Ready to start your next workout adventure with the number one treadmill brand in the U.S.? Shop NordicTrack.com for Cyber Monday savings. Nordic Track. Train anywhere, explore everywhere.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 510 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A little warmer than it was yesterday. Still rainy all day tomorrow. We're still waiting to find out what's going on with the two parades that are still scheduled to happen. The Navarre Parade was canceled, but we have Gulf Breeze in the morning at 10, and then we have Milton in the evening and 6, I believe. And we're waiting to find out. They say they're at noon today. They're going to announce what's going on because the weather does not look very cooperative for tomorrow. Yesterday, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson held a press conference. It was partially to give an update on a murder from a little while ago, one that we actually talked with him about on Monday, but the update has not really changed. This has to do with the one that was on Santa Rosa Drive and Gulf Breeze.
We're going to talk about two separate homicides today. I'm going to give you an update on the one from November 25th that happened in Gulf Breeze on, I believe it was Santa Rosa Drive. Reagan Barber, 25 years of age, was shot to death in her home. I can't go into too much detail because the investigation is ongoing, but we have a solid suspect, and we expect some forensic evidence to come in soon. And once that comes in, we expect an arrest, and we'll update you on that one as soon as that occurs.
Yeah, and that's a no status change from Monday, so we're still waiting on that forensic evidence, or they are still waiting on it, and they're then, you know, going to let us know what's going on. But, you know, when we talked to him, he indicated that basically they thought they had their suspect. They knew who did it. They just were waiting on the proof to make sure that that would be a justified arrest. And then here's all I can tell you. This next story is it's about as bad as you can possibly imagine. And it's shocking. It is horrifying. It is depressing. It's all around. It's terrible. But we've had an incident in our community that is all of those things. This kind of thing where I'd warn you, you know, if you got kids in the car, this may not be, I mean, for the next few minutes, you know, you may want to, you know, I don't know, turn on the music or something, because it's bad in pace, okay, and it involves teenagers.
On December 1st, around 7 a.m., Danica Troy, a 14-year-old, was reported as a runaway by her mother in Pace, Florida. Unbeknownst to the mother, unfortunately, Danica was murdered the previous night.
Yeah, and there's actually been a really high number of homicides just recently. We were talking about this on Monday, and it's worse than that.
On December 2nd, deputies in Pace responded to a dead body call off of Kimberly Road. Detectives were called out, hit the ground running, and I want to say this. We've had more homicides this year than normal, and our major crimes unit, who I'll put up against any major crimes unit in the country, has done a wonderful job. And so they're still working on this one from November 25th, and they get this one.
Yeah, which is unusual, you know, because there just aren't that many homicides normally in Santa Rosa County. And there haven't been generally this year. We've had many weeks where we don't even talk to the sheriff because there's no major stories to talk about particularly. But this, the Milton homicide where they, you know, ran and hid in the swamp and the canines had to go get them, and then the one on down in the South End, and then this one in Pace.
So December 2nd, they get out there, they start the investigations, and this is where it gets really, horrific, actually.
It really is. I mean, I don't know how else to warn you. Just, I often think, you know, who's listening to the show? Do you want to hear this? Do you want your kids to hear this? And, this particular would be the time maybe to, you know, if that's an issue, this is a time maybe to, you know, like I said, I understand. I do. I always think about, like, you know, my wife drives around with our kids when they were younger or when they're a little bit older, and we got a lot of people driving. Maybe not at this moment driving to and from school, you know, as is more little, maybe in an hour and 2 hours. But yeah, this is the one that you don't want to hear if you don't want to hear it.
They developed two suspects, one a 14-year-old boy and another one a 16-year-old boy. The 16-year-old boy, Gabriel Williams, stole his mother's handgun and shot Danica Troy. Kamari Blevins is the 14-year-old. Put their pictures up. They are currently at DJJ. They're being held on first-degree premeditated murder charges. And here's where it even gets worse. It's bad enough you kill a 14-year-old. You're 14, you're 16. Shoot her multiple times. Then they set her on fire.
And her body was discovered by somebody walking in the area, called it in, very quickly investigated, very quickly identified suspects, very quickly made an arrest.
So deputies get out there, they hit the ground running, they find both suspects, we get them in custody, and not right now there's not a clear motive, but I can tell you this, we're going to be hopefully working with the state attorney's office to get these individuals charged as adults. You do an adult crime, you need to do adult time. So that's going to be the next effort we're putting forth.
So first-degree murder charges, adult charges. I don't know, as a matter of law, whether, I mean, I hate to even ask the question, but of course I think everybody asks the question, would they be eligible for the death penalty at 14 and 16?
What was the relation between the shooters and the victim?
Friends, supposedly. Yeah.
Any word on, I mean, have they been interrogated yet? I mean, is there any word on the motive?
No. Not on a motive, but, well, of course, they have been interviewed, but the motive that they're giving doesn't fit the forensics or any facts of the case, so we don't have a legit motive.
So they've given some kind of an explanation that Sheriff Johnson says doesn't fit anything that the rest of the facts justify, so they really don't know what happened.
Can you say what they told you guys?
No, not at this point. Not until we talk to the state attorney's office and get some more things hashed out. But I can tell you this. This is what Major Crimes calls a ground ball. The evidence pointed to him immediately. They took him into custody immediately. And, you know, unfortunately for, you know, the Troy family, they have to go through this.
And, you know, in case you're not familiar with the sports metaphor, he's saying the case is lock. It's easy. It's a ground ball is an easy play in baseball.
Any criminal history?
I think we've had run-ins with them before, as in being arrested. I don't know if they have any.
And the question was then raised, well, okay, so 14- and 16-year-old, you know, stolen gun from the mom, who, you know, some status about her has come out, and there's the very real question of whether she should have had a gun or been able to have a gun in the first place. Did she properly secure it? What sort of oversight did she exert over them? You raise questions even about the victim's family and what possible charges might be brought against any of the adults in this circumstance when, again, we're talking about, you know, 14 and 16-year-olds. You ask these questions.
Any charges for Mullet?
Oh, not at this time, no.
Do you expect any charges for any of the parents?
We're still looking into it, so I can't really say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the investigation is still ongoing, and horrible all around.
What led you guys to find the body? Was there a 911 call? Did someone stumble across this?
Yeah, somebody stumbled across the body, called us, and then that's how we found it.
And as you can understand, the person who found her is severely traumatized by finding her body in this condition at all. The major crimes people are dealing with the psychological effects of this kind of trauma.
And, you know, needless to say, not only the person who found the body was traumatized, you know, our major crimes detectives have to see stuff like this. You know, you don't want to go out and see a burnt child with bullet holes. I mean, that's not something you sign up for, but unfortunately, you know, you get put in that position. So,
and the only, this doesn't explain anything, but the only thing that he said yesterday that, other than the facts of the case, that offered any additional insight was, you know, apparently they knew each other from school.
I believe they were acquaintances from school.
What school was that?
High Roads was where the suspects went, I believe.
And just in case you're not familiar, High Roads is a special needs school, you know, the kind of second chance school, as I understand it, where you have academic, behavioral, and emotional needs children. So, you know, troubled or difficult students go there. That doesn't really explain anything particularly, but just in case you didn't know that that's, you know, personally, I did not know the name of that school, and so I had to look it up. I'm like, what is this school? I'd never heard of this school. So, yeah, man, just be, you know, praying for the students at that school, all the teachers, all the family members, generally for our community. I sometimes think about these kind of cases, and I think about how this is the sort of story that brings, you know, national recognition to our area for all the wrong reasons. And there's literally no upside to all of this, except we can praise the work of law enforcement that they resolved the case quickly and it doesn't remain an open, unsolved, and uncertain. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians. They hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The only thing between you and your best self is a start button. This Cyber Monday, explore the world with Nordic Track. From the peaks of Peru to the streets of Paris, every workout moves you somewhere new with iFit trainers leading the way. The equipment's amazing, smooth, quiet, and those screens make it all feel real. Ready to start your next workout adventure with the number one treadmill brand in the U.S.? Shop NordicTrack.com for Cyber Monday savings. Nordic Track. Train anywhere, explore everywhere.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Oh, I did do a check. I had forgotten to do it yesterday, but apparently after the Roper case in the United States, Supreme Court, U.S. Roper versus Simmons in 2005, nobody who is a juvenile at the time of their crime is eligible for the death penalty, even on first degree homicide charges. So if that kind of answers your question about what might potentially happen to these two kids. 523 on News Radio 92.3, even though, as somebody texted in, and I agree, I think an awful lot of people would actually vote for that penalty. It is not constitutional, at least not under current law. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The Supreme Court is allowing Texas to use a new congressional map designed to favor Republicans in next year's midterm election. The six conservative justices on the court ruled that Texas could proceed with the new map, while the three liberal justices joined together in dissent. The national Christmas tree is now lit up in front of the White House. President Trump spoke at the national tree lighting ceremony last night in Washington, D.C., and gave a countdown to the lighting. It is a 35-foot spruce tree. The holiday tradition dates back to 1923.
You know, speaking of that, my wife told me something the other day. She said that, you know, the big tree that NBC puts up at 30 Rock every year? Apparently, that tree is given by, like, private individuals. Donate that tree. Donate it. Don't sell it. Donate it. So somebody's got a... you know what, 40-foot, you know, beautiful evergreen sitting in their yard or on their back lot or something, and they just say, no, no, come take this. And they donate it. Again, you know, apparently for no charge, just, you know, we want to be able to say that our tree was chosen. Last I checked, I mean, trees not only are tremendously valuable, but also add a lot of value to a home. So it's kind of a whole wild circumstance to me, but okay, there you go.
Absolutely. Is the McKay household a real tree or a
fake tree? Oh, no, fake trees. Real trees are terrible and stupid.
Oh, but there's so much more. It's a better experience.
Sure, sure.
All right. We'll debate that later.
You're so sappy.
That's true. Yeah. Well, the World Health Organization says there's not enough weight loss drugs for those who need them. The global organization now urging leaders in countries to do what they can to help with access for people who would benefit from GLP-1 therapies. The WHO is also urging companies to lower the prices of those drugs.
And of course, you're sappier even after you put up a tree like that. So, David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate it. Sorry. All right, Dad, stop explaining your jokes. You're right. You're absolutely right. Hey, if you have a company, if you have employees, you have to deal with benefits, you know, health, dental, vision, life, disability. You have to manage HR, payroll, all of that kind of stuff. And you love it and it's going great and your employees are happy, then cool. I mean, ignore me for a minute. You know, that's fine. I mean, that happens. On the other hand, if your employees aren't thrilled or, you know, if the prices aren't great or the service isn't great or, you know, you don't love what's happening in your company or you just wonder maybe there's a better way to do it because, good Lord, the price of insurance, right? Call Torgerson Consulting. You know, for more than two decades, they've been helping local businesses like yours solve these problems. They like this stuff. I mean, they don't like the state of the market either, but they will find you the best stuff that's available. And then they'll help you take care of your employees and, you know, do it in a way that is the best available, you know. And we have been using them for about 5 years, coming up on 5 years here at Cat Country and News Radio, and they've been fantastic. They gave us choices and plans we didn't know we had access to, and they give us customer service that we definitely were not getting before. So we love them. And my wife will always ask detailed questions as an industrial engineer, you know. She always likes to say, look, insurance people are great, but they're not detail-oriented. They are salespeople. And so the folks at Torgerson Consulting are detail-oriented, and she loves that about them. 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 437-1620. You know how we have talked about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal and the $10 million that was funneled off of the Centene Medicaid repayment through ACA, Hope Florida Foundation, and wound up in these two PACs, you know, these two $5 million funding PACs for the political things that were going on related to ballot initiatives. And James Uthmeyer, the current attorney general, was, you know, kind of the overseer of those. And then Alex Andrade kind of discovers all of this and says, whoa, wait, what? You know, Medicaid payback money or, you know, settlement money is not supposed to go to political entities. It's not supposed to go secretly to political entities. It's not to go secretly through the Hope Florida Foundation to political entities. What gives? And he, you know, rather famously called it wire fraud and, oh, what was the other one? Wire fraud and money laundering. That's right. Okay, well, new information, and the governor denies there's any wrongdoing and, you know, throws up this whole smokescreen about, you know, liberal media are after him again, and that the Hope Florida program is a really good program. Well, there's a big difference in the Hope Florida program, which is the actual entity doing the consulting to tell people what they might be able to have access to, and the Hope Florida Foundation, which is the fundraising arm. You know, the foundation can be totally messed up and the entity can be good. They can both be messed up or they can both be good. They're not the same thing. And then James Uthmeyer said, there's nothing to see here. This is all, you know, nonsense. Meanwhile, there is actually been an investigation into this and a grand jury convened to look into it. As of yet, we don't know who they might be targeting or who might receive an indictment. Well, now we have an interesting twist of the case. Whenever the state receives Medicaid funding back in a case like this, they're obligated to repay a significant chunk, 57% of it, back to the federal government because the federal government is a substantial payer of Medicaid. So if you get, say, $10 million back on Medicaid funds, you have to actually give $5,700,000 of it back to the federal government, and then $4,300,000 of it would stay with us. It's a 57%, you know, repayment. You follow so far? Okay, so if $10 million comes back, 57% has to go to the federal government. So how much did they repay on the $67 million total settlement, which if the $10 million was described by the governor as the cherry on top, a side payment, an inducer, and a sweetener, something that wasn't actually Medicaid money owed? Because if it was Medicaid money owed, then it had to go back through to ACA and it had to go to the feds. And he always said this is like a side deal. This $10 million is completely separate. ACA paid back the federal government a calculation based on the $67 million, not based on the $57 million. So ACA, because they know that if you defraud the federal government on their Medicaid money, you're going to be in trouble, they have paid back $38 million instead of $32 million, which is 57% of the big number, including the $10 million, which means that ACA, in my opinion, has now laid the groundwork for an indictment because they have acknowledged as a government bureaucracy that the $10 million was, in fact, Medicaid money, which means that it definitely should have come through them and it shouldn't have gone to the Hope Florida Foundation. So this has gotten a whole lot more serious all of a sudden.
I'm CJ Papa. An arrest nearly 5 years in the making. 30-year-old Brian Cole will appear in court today in connection to the pipe bombs left at DNC and RNC headquarters on January 5th, 2021.
He's facing two federal charges, transporting an explosive device in interstate commerce and attempted malicious destruction by means of fire and explosive materials. But investigators say it was a new look at old information in the original file that broke the case.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting ICE making arrests in New Orleans and protesters outraged during a city council hearing.
If that means recording you, we record you. If that means putting our bodies on the line, we will put our bodies on the line.
Assistant Secretary for DHS Tricia McLaughlin saying that includes criminals linked to homicide, kidnapping, and child abuse. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got cloudy skies, 53 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. We'll get to our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 here in just a few minutes. Well, two young teen boys behind bars after allegedly luring a 14-year-old girl into a wooded area in Pace to fatally shoot her and burn her body. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday announcing the arrests of 14-year-old Kimari Blevins and 16-year-old Gabriel Williams after they allegedly shot Danica Troy multiple times in a wooded area off Kimberly Road before dousing her in gasoline, lighting her on fire.
Next step is getting with the state attorney and hopefully get them charged as an adult, both of them as adults, and hopefully they go to adult prison, which is where they need to go. Like I said, you do an adult crime, you got to do the adult time.
Both Blevins and Williams are currently being held in the Department of Juvenile Justice. A hit-and-run crash in Escambia County left one person in the hospital last night. The wreck happened on Thursday on Lillian Highway near New Warrington Road. Emergency responders rushed to the scene, but details about the victim's condition have not yet been released. FHP is still investigating. We're waiting to hear back on more information with that, but we'll have updates as that develops. Well, Florida lawmakers taking up a proposal yesterday in a committee hearing that would change the state's official bird. The bill on the table would retire the longstanding northern mockingbird, Florida's state bird since 1927, and replace it with the bright pink American flamingo. But State Representative Alex Andrade had other concerns.
Gentlemen, it doesn't sound like either of these two birds that you want to represent the entire state are found in my neck of the woods in the panhandle. However, the mockingbirds are. I hear their sweet songs most mornings. What is it that you have against the panhandle?
You're recognized, sir.
That's a good question, Rep. Nothing against the panhandle.
Now, supporters of the change say the flamingo would better reflect Florida's tropical character. They say it's a distinctive symbol tied to beaches, wetlands, and the state's restoration efforts. Andrade, though, said he supported the bill at the committee level and says he plans to file an amendment to also name the pelican as the official state fishing bird. Well, Naval Air Station Pensacola is hosting a Pearl Harbor Remembrance Ceremony at the Naval Aviation Memorial Chapel today. Now, that ceremony is scheduled for 8 o'clock this morning following the morning colors. The event honors more than 2,400 service members and civilians killed in the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor 84 years ago, plus an estimated 1,000 who were wounded. 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at some wet weather as you go throughout your day today. 80% chance of rain, high near 59 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. Wet weather for that Saturday, about 100% chance of that rain. We will have highs near 60 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 54. We're going to keep clouds around on that Sunday with just a small sprinkle possible, high near 65 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stick and I get Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 53. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Steel must pay $135,000 and establish stronger pollution controls after environmental regulators found the steelmaker's West Mifflin facility was leaking oil into the Monongahela River. An agreement announced between U.S. Steel and the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection requires the company to monitor wastewater from the Irvin Works with daily inspections and live feed cameras. Apple's general counsel, Kate Adams, and its vice president for environment, policy, and social initiatives, Lisa Jackson, are retiring from the company. The two executives reported to Apple CEO Tim Cook and are the latest members of senior leadership to exit the iPhone maker. Microsoft is increasing prices for various office productivity software subscriptions for commercial customers on July 1st. The cost of a low-priced offering for frontline workers will jump 33%. Microsoft most recently bumped commercial office prices in 2022. Futures are currently mixed. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 31. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air.
Sit, Stay, and Listen, Wednesday at 10 on Pep Talk.
See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Hi, this is Mary Hoxing. Merry Christmas, Pensacola. As we gather with family and friends this Christmas season, may your hearts be filled with joy and your homes with laughter. Wishing you all peace, love, and warmth from our family to yours. Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Front Desk Tina, and I'm wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, I had a really good conversation with the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood, mostly about the incident that took place a week ago at the Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza between Officer Roper and Mike Kimbrell. But we'll get into all that. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. High-profile cases. It seems like we've had a fairly quiet week. I know you and your officers always hate that Q word, but, you know, we'll take it, right? It's good.
Absolutely.
And just quick things I wanted to get out of the way before we get to the kind of the big story of the week involving PPD. The parade downtown next week, standard route as far as you know, or is there a route? You know, maybe I saw that the route has changed. I just don't know. That's the Mardi Gras route has been changed. Next week is the same though, right?
Yes, it's the same.
Okay. And the Mardi Gras route, you guys are all on board with that? That's going to be a little bit different coming up in the spring?
Yeah, I don't know that that's I believe they're heading that way. I haven't been told, to be honest with you, but we're going to welcome anything that makes things easier and the flow better and the crowds can get in and out easier. We're certainly for anything like that.
And, you know, obviously a different route is going to mean different security protocols, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. I did want to ask you, though, once the Reimagine Palafox starts, that will, I imagine, you tell me if I'm wrong, that will dramatically change how you guys do policing during the project on Palafox. Or am I totally wrong? I'm just wondering what you guys, I assume you've thought about this quite a bit, but how is that going to affect what you guys do? Because that's obviously lots of people. And if access is changed to no cars, then, you know, that, I assume that affects what you guys do.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to change anything as far as ordinances or laws go. It may it obviously change traffic patterns, but that's one of those things. Once that project begins, we'll take a look at it a little bit closer and see if there's anything that we need to adapt to or change.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking about is, you know, how much will you be able to rely, you know, during the winter months, obviously, on, you know, cruiser-based policing as opposed to foot, you know, patrol-based policing? And it would see, I mean, you can't patrol Palafox in a car after the construction starts. So that's kind of where I was thinking. But have you know, any thoughts about all that?
Yeah, we'll just adapt to that. Bicycles, foot patrols, which we already do down in that area. And it's just like any other, if we had a storm come through and we're not able to get through, we're going to still be there one way or the other. So once this project begins, then we will adapt to the area and there will still be plenty of police officers in that area.
And if we get another snowstorm, then obviously dog sleds and snowshoes and you guys will do whatever you need to do, right? So.
Okay, see, now you had to throw that in there. Look, I don't have an answer for you there. Let's hope that doesn't happen. It was beautiful. It was different. But, we'll be down there slipping and sliding and trying to walk like everybody else.
The PPD sled fund is, let's say, underfilled. I joke, but yeah. So let's talk about the big story of the week. Obviously, it was the incident at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza last Friday. Officer Roper goes in, talks to Mike Kimbrell, who is there as part of Food Not Bombs, doing a feeding, which they've been doing for a long time. We now learn that apparently there was some kind of a verbal agreement about the use of the park that's not in the ordinance, that's not on paper, and so it makes it difficult for everybody, as the mayor has so clearly said. Officer Roper talks with him at length. Eventually, there's a disagreement about, you know, whether he has to show ID. There's been a misdemeanor, and so showing ID pursuant to a misdemeanor is justified. My take on this whole incident has been that if anybody's in the wrong, it was Mike, okay? And I think that at times he was a little bit too chirpy and aggressive and maybe was looking for a conflict. I also have said that I thought Roper didn't do anything wrong, but if I were to grade him, I'd grade him like a B+. I think it was very good. He was very patient. He was very diligent and slow and was not trying to arrest somebody. But what I thought was he could have gone even a little bit more patiently, he could have asked, do you have any kind of a permission? Do you know that if you don't produce ID pursuant to a misdemeanor, then I can arrest? You know, like, there were just a couple of opportunities where he could have done more. So I know you and I, because you and I talked off the air about this. What's your perspective on this incident?
Well, I would give him an A. He did exactly what he needed to do. He did his job very well. He was polite. He was patient. This could have been gone so much worse on the officer side. And we've all seen those type videos where the officers are overly aggressive, physically and or verbally. But there comes to a point where the officer knows, and we do this every day. We talk to people every day, and we understand people have different perspectives, and we have to take that into account. But there comes a point when we're talking to a person that we know that their heels are dug in, they're not going to budge, and we have to do our jobs. And we can't just stand there and just, you know, say pretty please and that sort of thing for 30 minutes. The officer was clearly familiar with the ordinance. He works down there. We have officers that work downtown all the time. That's what they do. They keep a closer eye on the parks now than they ever have before. And Officer Roper did his job, and he did it well.
You know, that's really interesting. I'm glad we disagree, because that always makes for good conversation. By the way, I want to be clear about this. I totally agree with you that it could have gone much worse on both sides, frankly. But, you know, and as you say, we've seen officers do it very, very much worse, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I thought he was actually very patient compared to with, you know, what he could have been. It was just, to me, like I said, it was a matter of, you know, could it have been a little bit better? Could it have been a little bit more questions asked and that kind of thing? But, I defer a little bit to your judgment about, you know, you're in this situation, your officers are in this situation all the time, and they know what's normal, and they can sense things about a situation that might be a little bit different than what, you know, a citizen like me watching it from the outside thinks. I did want to ask about, and just to clarify, producing ID, anytime there's a reasonable suspicion of a crime, a misdemeanor, or a felony, then you must give your ID. Just being on the street, you do not have to give your ID unless there is some articulable suspicion of a crime, right?
That is correct. We can't just walk up to you for the heck of it and say, let me see your ID. That's unlawful. But when an officer is investigating a violation, then you must produce ID when requested. And it's, you know, it's people have to, you have to produce ID to get on an airplane. And for right. a lot of other reasons, it's no big deal. Obviously, this individual was going to be issued a warning, and the officer was going to turn around and walk away. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, that's it. We do have to have a reason for asking for ID.
And just, again, because I think all these are good opportunities to teach the public, it's different when you're in a car. The driver of a car is obligated to produce ID, period, to validate that they have a driver's license and insurance. The passenger does not, and right? I mean, that's right?
That's right, unless the passenger is involved in a potential crime. It depends on why the vehicle was stopped.
Right, very, very good. So just to kind of pursue this just a little bit, let's imagine that the situation was that different than what it is, okay? There was no actual misdemeanor or reasonable suspicion of a misdemeanor, but the officer had said, you know, hey, I need to see your ID in order so I can document this. In that circumstance, if Mike had said no, what should have happened?
I'm not following you. If he was just walking through the park, cutting across the park?
Yeah, well, not even after dark. Like, just, I mean, here's why I ask. You and I have many times talked about the prudent thing to do in a situation with a cop is to comply. If the cop tells you to do something, do it. And I was making the point the other day that that is true up to a point, and even though that is the prudent thing to do, that is not always correct. Like at your door, if the cop doesn't have a warrant, you can say no. You do not always have to comply if you are sure that you know you have the law, the rights on your side. And so, for example, what I'm thinking is if you're on the street and a police officer stops you and just says, give me your ID, well, he's not justified in doing that. He does not have the law on his side. What should a citizen do at that point if the cop is demanding something unlawful?
They need to ask for a supervisor. Ask for a supervisor to come down and explain what the problem is. The officer will also explain what's going on to the supervisor and see where it goes from there. But most of the time, the officer is going to tell you why you are being stopped and what, you know, what the problem is and why he's asking for ID. That's not we don't mind doing that at all.
I think that's
what we're going to do.
You know, you'd ask for the manager at the drive at the fast food place. You can ask for a supervisor if the police officer you believe to be in the wrong about something. That's fantastic. I appreciate that. The other thing that came up in this, and this is why it's such a And by the way, let's be clear. This has nothing to do with the fact that they were feeding the homeless. That is completely unrelated to anything that happened, right?
That's exactly right. That has nothing to do with it. And people were just giving us a hard time about that. And feeding of the hungry and the homeless or anyone else, it had absolutely nothing to do with why that stop was made.
Very good. The other thing that came up in this conversation was the issue of discretion. Officer discretion about enforcing a misdemeanor. Now, the mayor has made a very good point that, you know, the police are there to enforce the law, and you don't want them thinking, well, what does the mayor like or what does the mayor not like? You want them enforcing the law. But they are allowed discretion on the enforcement of misdemeanors. Can you explain what that means and how that works in practice?
Yeah, first of all, let me clear something up. The mayor and city hall, or nobody directed that officer to go down there that night. That's something else that's been out there. That absolutely did not happen. But yes, discretion is always part of it, and discretion was used that night. The officer could have simply walked up there, saw the violation going on, and issued a citation, but he didn't. He used discretion. He was going to warn the folks that were in there feeding the folks that they were in violation of an ordinance, and he was going to turn around and leave. So he was using discretion. He decided not to do anything until there was pushback.
And so discretion is under enforcement of a law that you would have been justified to enforce because under the circumstances it doesn't make sense to fully enforce it, or it seems prudent to you to, just like somebody's caught speeding and you might write them a warning verbally or just written, as opposed to you could give them a ticket but you don't always. That's discretion too, right?
That is exactly discretion.
And in this case, like what he could have done is he could have trespassed every single one of the people that were there after dark, right, if he wanted to. In fact, he could have written a citation to every single one of the people that were there if he had wanted to, if that had been the intent.
Yes, he could have wrote citations to everyone there and shut it down, and that's not what he wanted. That's not what we wanted as a police department. We wanted to just say, hey, next time go get a permit and walk away. That's what we wanted.
And that was, by the way, one of the things I thought he did really well, as he said, hey, I'd like to just get this so it doesn't happen again next week, and so that we can either do it earlier or we can do it with a, you know, some kind of a permission slip of some sort, that would be the end state goal here. So, by the way, in talking to you, I'm moving my grade up. I still think there were a couple of opportunities to do better, but I'll give him an A-. But that's because, you know, I'm slow to persuade.
We'll take it.
Oh, hey, you know, it's related. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention paid to Mike Kimbrell, and I consider him to be a good friend. He's been on the show many times, as you know. But, you know, how is Officer Roper doing? I mean, it's never fun to be the subject of social controversy. You know, even if you are totally right, it's not fun. How is he handling all it? A lot of people talked about how the, you know, food not bombs and how Mike and how the, you know, homeless people have been handling. How's he handling it?
He's fine. He was doing his job. You know, Andrew, we as police officers, we're the boots on the ground that have to confront people and have to, quote, be the bad guys and enforce laws that we did not make. We aren't there making laws and ordinances and things like that. The lawmakers do that, and they do it for a specific reason. But we are tasked with enforcing those laws. So we are the, quote, bad guys on the street having to do that, and we're going to take the brunt of the criticism. But I got to tell you, that's just another day at the office for police officers. Any of them anywhere will tell you that. You just have to brush it off. And I've been cussed at many times, but I don't believe they were cussing Mike Wood as much as they were the uniform and the job that I have to do. So that's the mindset that we have, and Officer Roper is fine.
Great. I appreciate that. Oh, and by the way, if people think I'm being too, demanding of the, I often grade myself not an A. I often think I could have done things better. There's, you know, always opportunity to improve. So I look at my own performance that same exact way. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, this is a myth, and it's related to our discussion here. And that's, we saw a lot of pushback online and people wanting to for the Pensacola Police Department to, quote, do the right thing and drop the charges. Well, we can't. That's not something we're able to do once we levy charges on a person. The only person or the only way that can be dropped is through the state attorney's office and through judges of the court system. So we could not do that if we wanted to. That's just something that's not that can't be done.
Okay, so even if internal review decides that a mistake was made, an overreaction, something that you guys were in the wrong, even if that's true, you guys are not capable of, like, legally, you guys are not capable of rescinding charges?
Right. And in this case, we weren't wrong. But in the case that you're describing, if we were, then we can consult with the state attorney's office and ask them, you know, and tell them, hey, we messed up here. We have no problem with those charges being dropped. But we can't simply do that on our own.
And again, just a technical question. Can you have arrested somebody and yet not have actually applied charges that would then not be able to be? Like, I just don't know the process. If somebody is taken into custody, that doesn't automatically mean charges given. Is that right?
Well, there's a difference between taken into custody, arrested, and detained. So sometimes we will detain people. Sometimes they are handcuffed for their safety and the officer's safety, but that does not mean they're under arrest. Once things get sorted out, people can be – the handcuffs be taken off, and they can be released. That's not an arrest.
Excellent. Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you know, you and I have been friends a long time. I really appreciate you disagreeing with me this morning, especially because that brings more, I think, perspective to the entire story. So I really appreciate that. As always, sir, great information, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't have a lot of opportunity to disagree with Mike Wood, even mildly, usually. So, you know, that was a really good conversation. I thought, you know, I learned a lot in that conversation, and so I appreciate him engaging with us. It's true. Sometimes, you know, you don't learn as much by talking to people who agree with you. Sometimes you learn more by talking to people you might disagree with a little bit. That's why I cherish the people. I always say it, you know, you're free to disagree with me about anything. Please text in your disagreement. You know, that keeps me from making the mistakes that you don't see because you're not hanging around with enough people who ask you questions. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need work done inside your home on the complex systems like the heating, the air conditioning, the you know, the electrical, maybe a generator, plumbing, all of that kind of stuff. Well, Peden, they can take care of you for that. They've been around since 1969. Robert Peden started this company as an air conditioning company just to kind of, you know, cool off in the summer in Panama City. And then he, over the time, expanded it to obviously, you know, heating is a pretty natural expansion, and then electrical, and then plumbing, and, you know, generator, all that kind of stuff, to where now they are everywhere between Tallahassee and even into Mobile. They crossed over the border and included their territory, included Baldwin County and Mobile in their territory a couple of years ago. And they take care of all that stuff with good products, good installation, good people, and then a, you know, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Well, right now, one of the things that they're offering is a smarter, safer home with their $89 smart home consultation. Peden's licensed professionals will design a custom plan that connects your comfort, your security, and your energy savings into a simple system. You can start living smarter with Peden. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hey there, home buyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020, or at willmaven.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Damn, that boy can sing.
Must be creepy.
He good.
Must be creepy.
So good news, or I suppose really bad news for those of you who like sweets. PJ, are you an ice cream fan? Do you like the cold sweets?
Love it.
All right.
Yes.
Have you ever been to a Rogue Creamery? Or not Rogue Creamery. My brain. There's a place in Oregon that sells the best blue cheese in the whole wide world called Rogue Creamery. But have you ever heard of a Cold Stone Creamery?
Yes, I have. It's great stuff.
Oh, my God. It's so good. You know, the hardest thing I have to do at Cold Stone is whenever we go, I have to remind myself I don't want to order anything exotic. I just want the Bare Sweet Cream with Heath mix-ins because the Bare Sweet Cream is so good all on its own. And as soon as you mix in flavors, I mean, it's not that it's not good. It's just that it's different. We're getting one over on by the Walmart near the fairgrounds at Mobile Highway and Pine Forest. Brittany Misencik from the PNJ reports on that yesterday, so woohoo! Now, I mean, there's lots of good ice cream places, but Cold Stone is a thing of its own. Let's see, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Supreme Court is allowing Texas to use new congressional maps designed to favor Republicans in next year's midterm election. The six conservative justices on the court ruling that Texas can proceed with the new map. The three liberal justices joined together in dissent. President Trump has hired a new architect to lead the construction of the new White House ballroom. The White House said in a statement yesterday that the Washington, D.C. architectural firm Shalom Baranis Associates will oversee the next phase of construction. The statement said that Baranis is an accomplished architect whose work has shaped the architectural identity of the nation's capital for decades.
Well, they sound like would have been a good first choice.
you might think so.
Anyway, David, thanks so much
for I've got one more.
Oh, all right. Like. Yeah, please.
Just one more. So Zohran Mamdani is being honored as one of the most mispronounced words of 2025.
I saw this story. Yeah.
The new list was revealed yesterday, naming the three most mispronounced words. Apparently, they've been listening to my newscast. The list says the correct pronunciation of the mayor-elect is Zohran Mamdani.
Yeah, that's you've been saying that right? One right. Yeah. I don't know what they're complaining about. Yeah.
So also making the list is Tylenol pain reliever acetaminophen and the Louvre apparently making.
Now say it right. That's not how the French say it.
That's Louvre.
Not quite.
No? Louvre. It's Louvre.
It's Louvre. That's it. And if it sounds like it's halfway between things Americans would say, yes. It's like Louisville. You know, halfway between.
This is my hill. I'm picking it. It's the Louvre.
That's fine. Nobody's going to complain. You don't have to say Nicaragua when you're reporting on Central America, right? You know, you don't have to even be worried about TP from my bunghole. You can just say Nicaragua. It's okay. Which is why I am against this whole effort to sound authentic by saying, you know, Kiev instead of Kiev, or saying, Moscow instead of Moscow, which it should be Moskva anyway, but, you know, yeah, it's Louvre. And if it sounds a little bit like you're, you know, losing your ability to speak right at the end of it, then you're doing it right. That's French for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.